Mark is one of these guys that God is using in very powerful ways. God keeps opening doors, not just here in the U.S. In fact, the doors here in the U.S. are just now opening. But Mark's been literally all over the world. He's been in Singapore recently, Canada, New Zealand. And amazing things are happening in those places. And I'm going to let he'll tell you some of that, I'm sure. But he's here this morning to help us to learn a little bit more about what this Faith at Home movement is all about. He considers himself a missionary to that movement and sharing that message of the importance of faith at home. And so, Mark, if you'll come up here, I'm going to ask Robert to pray over you before you begin. And then Mark Holman will be speaking to us this morning.
Father, we're most grateful for the way that you've blessed this congregation and your kingdom. And Father, as the message of faith and family and home is brought to us, may our hearts be open. Father, may our faith be strengthened. May our resolve for family and home be further cemented. May we be committed to your work in our homes, in our families, and in our hearts. Bless Mark as he brings this message to us this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, my friend. Good morning, Hillcrest. Tell you what, thank you for that wonderful worship today. I grew up at a Bible camp, and at a Bible camp, every weekend we would have different church groups that would come out to the camp and use it for a retreat. And so like one weekend we might have Lutherans, and of course they'd be singing hymns, and then the next weekend it might be a charismatic group, and then the next weekend. And I always would remember when Church of Christ would come, because that a cappella singing is just phenomenal. And so thank you for blessing me with that today. We are going to, I've got to cover in about 40 minutes of time here, about 2.5 hours of material. So I don't think that's going to be possible. So what does that mean? I'm going to be talking really fast. And I hope you can keep up with it. And I'm going to want to just kind of, you guys have blessed me so much that I want to try to return that blessing by giving you as much as I can in this time. Faith at Home is an incredible movement that God is leading. Please do not give me credit for the movement. Do not attach my name as like the leader of the movement or none. No, God is the leader of the movement. Amen? And Faith at Home is something that God is leading, and I am now a missionary that has just given my life to serving this movement on a full-time basis and letting God take me wherever He wants me to go to kind of champion this movement and serve this movement. And so, and this church has embraced Faith at Home. And it's pretty amazing to come into this environment and see and hear a message like Jack just gave, and where he recognized at the beginning that, and if you think about it, the church is a family. It's the family of God. And so when he talked about it, Faith at Home is a family mission, it is the church's mission. It is the church's message is to be a faith at home message, and it is the church's mindset to be a faith at home people. We are not called to be 1 hour hypocrites. Amen? We are called to be a people that live our lives 24/7 for God, and yet we live in a time and a day where hypocrisy is killing Christianity today. And that is because I've got good news and bad news for you today. How many of you, when you hear there's good news and bad news, like to get the bad news out of the way first? How many like that? Well, that's the way I'm going to work. Let me give you the bad news. Here's the bad news. It's based on the statistics and survey work that's being done today. Somewhere between 60 to 90% of the kids that are active in church programs today, so the kids that are attending your Sunday school right now, somewhere between 60 to 90% of them are going to walk away from their Christian faith when they're young adults. How many here do not like the sounds of that? And I'm giving you the range there because some staff have it at 60%, some have it as high as 90%. So somewhere in that range, 60 to 90% are, and that does not mean that they're just going to quit going to church for a few years and then they come back. They are not coming back. They're walking away from Christianity altogether. And of course, that sets up a question of why. Why are these young adults who once were active in the church, now why are they walking away from Christianity altogether? And when survey work has been done to look into that, the number one thing that always surfaces to the top is hypocrisy. They believe Christianity is hypocritical. Now, why would these young adults who not so long ago were active in the church, why would they now walk away from Christianity altogether saying it's hypocritical? It's because, did you know, less than 10% of church-going households pray in the home, read the Bible in the home, engage in any type of family service in the home, have any type of Bible reading in the home. So see, what has happened is that for many of them, what they experienced, their experience with Christianity, was that it was something you do at church, but it's not lived at home. Christianity for them is something where you act one way, dress one way, behave one way, talk one way, sing one way when you're at church. But then when you get away from church, you act a different way, live a different way, and you don't follow the ways of God. Well, it's no wonder that when you are raised in that environment, that when they get old enough to choose for themselves, they say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with that, and yet they are still on a quest for what they call true spirituality. Friends, they are looking for something more real than that, and that's because faith was never meant to be a one-hour thing. Can I get a big amen to that? Faith was meant to be, our Christian faith is meant to be something that we live 24/7 and not just when we're at church. And so that is, and to be honest, we have an enemy. What is our enemy's name? We can say it. Satan. And Satan is always strategically and methodically at work to get Christ and Christ-like living. And what Satan, he wants to prevent the advancement of Christianity. But Satan realizes that in God's Word, it says that Satan will not prevail against the church. How many say amen to that? I mean, that's good news. He's not going to prevail against the church. But if you know you're not going to win something, why would you do battle there? Because in the Bible, there is no such promise regarding the home. So what Satan has realized is that, you know what? I'm not going to win against the church. I'm not going to defeat the church. But that home, if I can get Christ and Christ-like living out of there, Satan realizes he can cause all sorts of problems for families, he can cause all sorts of problems for marriages, he can cause all sorts of problems for the future generations wanting to follow Christ. So Satan has made the home his primary battleground. And to be honest, and he's been working this way for generations now, Satan has been winning the war for what's happening in homes today. And so that is our bad news. But there is good news today. And the good news is that we serve a great God. Amen? And it's not like God is sitting up there going, oh no, what am I going to do about this? God has a solution. Always has, always will. And God is on the move today with that solution that is rooted right in His words. And He is reawakening the church to this. And He is reawakening individuals. He's reawakening young adults to say, you know what? Faith is supposed to be more than something you just do at church. He is reawakening families, and He is doing it through this faith at home movement that He is leading that is rooted in Deuteronomy 6. Would you turn in your Bibles with that to me real quickly? Turn to Deuteronomy. I'm going to pull it up on my phone here. And I just want you to see where faith at home is rooted in. Because the word Deuteronomy, friends, means repetition of the law. And what's happening in Deuteronomy is he's repeating something to a really stubborn group of people, this Israelite nation, who they receive it, they say they're going to follow it, and then they walk away, they mumble, they grumble, they complain, they don't do it, so he has to say it to them again. And so if you've ever read the whole book of Deuteronomy, it keeps saying the same thing over and over again, and then they receive it and say they're going to do it, then they walk away, they mumble, they grumble, they don't do it, so then he has to repeat it to them again. Does that sound familiar to anyone here in the room, by the way? Anyone here find yourself, you know, sometimes hearing it, yeah, I'm going to do it, but then not doing it? Let's receive this repetition of the law. What is faith? Where is faith at home rooted? It says right here in Deuteronomy 6, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God has directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So in other words, you've got a choice here. You can either live life God's way or not. I'm just giving you this option, and it's the same option for us today. Now, why would I want to do life God's way? Why would I want to be a 24/7 Christian? He says, gives you two good reasons why in verse 2. He says, so that you, your children, and their children after them, whether you have them yet or not, He says, so that you, so your children and children's children, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands, and so that you and them may enjoy long life. Let me ask you, friends, here at Hillcrest, who here wants to enjoy long life? Okay, there's like five of you. Great. The rest of you, I guess, just want to be miserable. Good. Go ahead, the rest of you, be miserable. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. Let me try that again. Let's try it. Who here wants to enjoy life? Okay, it's a little better, but let's see if I can get more out of you. Because he says, enjoy long life, which in God's economy is eternal life. Who here does not want death to be the end? Who here wants to enjoy eternal life? Okay, I think we can get more out of you. Because he's not just meaning this for you now, by the way. He says, by the way, this is about you and your children and children's children, whether you have them yet or not. Who here does not want death to be the end for you, your children, and children's children? Who here wants that? Okay, we got one person. Great. So if that's what you want, you raise your hands. So this is something that Oprah can't get you to, Dr. Phil can't get you to. This is so that you may enjoy eternal life, so that death will not be the end for you, your children, and your children's children. He says, now if that interests you, hear, O Israel. Or in our context, hear, O Hillcrest. And be careful to obey so that... Now, I love this next verse. Be careful to do these things so that it may go miserable for you. Is that what it says? So that it may go well with you. By the way, I love that word well. It does not mean, if you look at it in the original Hebrew, it does not mean easy. Different word. So that it may go well with you. What does that mean? Meaning it may not always be easy, as we heard from Jack today. Amen? But it can still be well. Did you hear how that family, how their family is still well, even though it's not easy? How many of you here would like a little more wellness? Would like to have, you know, wellness in your family, wellness in your marriages, wellness in... I would like things to be well, even if they're not easy. This is so that it may go well with you, and, oh, by the way, so that you may increase greatly. In other words, the wellness that you have, God wants to put you on a trajectory of getting well-er. Not that that's a word, but you know what I mean. Growing in wellness. Who here likes, meaning growing in wellness all the way on through death to our ultimate place of wellness, which is next to our Father in heaven? Who here likes the sounds of that? Would you like to be that type of well, where death is not the end, where there is no pain, no suffering? Who here wants that wellness? So then he says, are you interested in this? Hear, O Hillcrest. The Lord, do you want to know what leads to that? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commands, that's it, are to be upon your hearts. And now impress this on your children. What leads to wellness? What leads through death? First of all, it's by recognizing there's only one way that leads to that, because there's only one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can I get a big amen to that? You know, and we live in a world that's going to try to tell us, no, there's not. There's multiple ways. There's multiple ways. No, there's not. There's only one true God. We need not be ashamed of that gospel. There's one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No matter what else everyone else is trying to sell you, that's not the truth. This is. Here, remember this. Hear, O Hillcrest. And be careful to obey this. Be careful to remember this so that it may go well with you. Jesus is the way, the truth. And then it says, now, love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Critical question behind Faith at Home. Are you in love with God or are you just doing church? And there's a big difference. See, I think the problem today is a lot of people are doing church, but they're not in love with God. And if your things aren't going well for you, maybe the question is, are you really living in love with God? Or are you just doing church? Because if you want to know what leads to this, it's about loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. So sometimes I ask it this way. Go home. Ask your best friends. If you have kids, ask your kids who you're in love with and see if God makes the list. Because the question becomes not just are we in love with God, but are we living in such a way that those who know us best would say we are in love with God? Because here's the deal. It says now, how many of us here want the future generations to be in love with God so that they don't walk away from the faith? Do you see what Lee said? It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, before it says, impress this on your kids. Meaning your kids, your friends, your people, they are going to love who and what you love. I love pepperoni pizza. My daughter loves pepperoni pizza. I love my sisters. Malin loves her aunts. Before they went to be with the Lord, I loved my parents. Malin loved Nana and Papa. I love Andrew and Kendall, our best friends. Malin loves Andrew and Kendall. I'm learning to love my in-laws. Kidding. Malin loves them. Friends, it starts with us. If we want them to love God, the question is, are we? How many of us want our kids to love the Word of God? Do they see that we love the Word of God and are reading it on our own for pleasure? We just love the Word of God. How many of us want them to love worship? Do they see that we love worship? How many of us here want them to love the church? Do they see that we love the church, or are we begrudgingly, oh, I got to go to church today. Oh, I hope the pastor's sermon is okay. Oh, I hope the music, I hope they pick the songs I like. Boy, if we bring attitude like that, guess what their attitude's going to be? They are going to love who and what we love. And then it continues. So it says, now out of this, so where does faith at home start? It starts with, are you in love with God? If we want to change this 60 to 90% of people falling away, it starts with, let's be a people that live in love with God. And so what I want to say to the young people that are here that are saying, you know what, does that mean we're going to walk away? We don't want to walk away from the faith. And what I want to look to them and say, change it then. Live in love with God. Out love us. Love God more than your parents did. That's how you want to change this. If you're tired of the way Christianity and organized religion is going, then be a part of the solution. Love God more than we did. And I'm standing before you as one that I can actually tell you, my daughter, at the age of 18, loves God more than I did at the age of 18. She's out loving me. I don't like her for that, but she's... But yet I'm super proud of her. She's made it personal. It's real to her. And now out of this love you have for God, now as we want to talk about how do we impress it on the next generation, it says now impress the ways of God on your children. How do you do that? By taking them to church and putting them in church programs. Is that what it says? By taking them to church and letting the youth minister do it. Nope. It says now, if you want to impress faith on your kids, now you talk about the ways of God with them when you sit at home. Right there it is. Friends, I'm not making this up. This is right out of God's Word. Talk about the ways of God with your kids when you sit at home. When you walk along the road, or in today's context, when you're driving along the road. When you lie down and when you get up. By the way, where do you lie down and get up at? Home. Tie the ways of God as symbols on your hands, bind it on your foreheads, which means when you're in love with God, it's you take the ways of God with you wherever you go. It's kind of like the best image I can give you, it's kind of like a tattoo. Once the person has a tattoo, it goes with them wherever they go. It's not like you can leave the tattoo at home. No. If you are truly in love with God, you can't leave that love at church. You are naturally going to love Him at work. You're going to love Him at school. You're going to love Him wherever you go. Amen? And that leaves an impression where others go, man, you are like, you're not just one of those fake Christians. This is like real. Mm-hmm. I love God. And I'm the same person here that I am there. That leaves an impression. And then it finally says in verse 9, and write it on the door frames of your churches, is what it says, right? Write it on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The picture in Scripture is so clear that the home has always meant to be the primary place where faith is to be lived, where faith is to be talked about, where faith is to be nurtured. It doesn't say that it should happen at church. If that's, and yet how many of us say, if I were to ask you, where is the primary place where you get your spiritual feeding at? Most people today would say, the church. And I will tell you one thing that used to drive me crazy as a pastor. Is as people would come to me when I was a senior pastor, and they'd be like, oh, I just need you to feed me, pastor, and I hope you can feed me. I'm looking to get fed a little more here, and that's why I'm here, is I'm hoping you can really feed me. And then sometimes they'd even go so far as say, oh, I'm just not getting fed as much as I wish I was, and I wish you would feed me more. And that always used to drive me crazy. Because I'd literally like to take the Bible, slap them up alongside the head, and be like, go feed yourself. And why are you coming to church starving? You should be full before you ever get here. Do you see why I didn't last long as a senior pastor? Only made it 7 years, you know. But no, I'm serious. Why are we starving for God's for wisdom from God, for to understand? Why can't I understand God better? Well, are you in His Word? So now let's get practical. So that lays the biblical foundation. You understand faith at home is not my thing. It comes right out of God's Word. It's who we are called to be as a people of God. So then the next question becomes, well, what am I supposed to do in my home? Well, let's look at it from a practical way. And so now we're going to get really practical. I'm going to switch gears. How many of you have seen the television show Extreme Home Makeover? How many of you have seen that show? How many of you love that show? How many of you, except for the last 10 minutes, which always make you cry? You know, yeah, what they're trying to do. Yeah, it's always an amazing show where they take something, and what I love about the show is they take what is a really bad situation, and by the end of 1 week, they've turned it into a beautiful home, and it's just amazing. Well, I would like to real quickly, I think in today's context, considering the fact that when you look at the statistics, prayer is not happening at home today. Faith talk is not happening as it should be today. Bible reading is not happening. Well, let's get practical. Let's do an extreme faith at home makeover in the next few minutes that we have here together. Let me give you some practical things so that we can do it in our homes. So let's go back to that television show. When they get ready, do they build the exact same home every week? No. It's always a unique home that is designed for that family. Well, I want you to also know something. When it comes to how do we do faith at home, I want you to understand that everybody's going to do it differently. And yet, when they build homes, does every home have a kitchen? Does every home have bedrooms? Does every home have bathrooms? Yeah, there are like key rooms that every home has, even though they look differently. So I think there are, in the time that we have here, I'm going to walk you through four. I don't think I'll have time to get to all five, but I normally walk people through five rooms that I think every household needs to be doing to be a faith at home household. So let me give you the first one. The first one comes right out of Deuteronomy 6. It says, impress the ways of God on your kids by talking about it when you sit home. The first thing that needs to be happening in our homes is what is called faith talk. Faith conversations. In other words, God talk can't only happen at church. We are called to be a people that talk about God and His ways when we're at home. And yet, statistics show us that only 28% of church-going kids have ever talked to their mom about faith, and only 13% have ever talked to their dad about faith. So we say faith talk is important, and yet it seems like we can talk to our kids about sports, we can talk to them about what's going on at school, we can talk to them about what's going on in politics or in a lot of other areas, but when it comes to talking about faith in God, for whatever reason, at home we're getting pretty quiet. We're not talking about it much. Well, that has to change. So I had a mentor by the name of Raleigh Martinson who said this, what we ought to do is let the kids drop their parents off at church. Wouldn't that be good? Could you imagine kids? Well, beep, 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 Dad, you get out. I'm going to go to Starbucks. But anyway, let the kids drop the parents off at church, train the parents, and then send the parents back into their primary mission field, which is where? Their home to grow Christians. Love that image. I would like to retrain you in how to do faith talk. And I'm going to use that word train as an acronym. How are we going to get faith talk happening in the homes? Well, the T stands for finding the right time. Stands for finding the right time. When is the right time to do faith talk? I think we all know this, right? When is the right time? Sunday night, 6 p.m. Everyone sitting at the kitchen table, behaving, candle burning, Bible open, magical spiritual moment, right? That's the right time. See, some of you were getting nervous because you're already thinking, uh-oh, he's going to tell us we need to do these. Here it comes. He's going to tell us, and that we've tried and it hasn't worked. He's going to tell us, here it comes. He's going to tell us we have to do family devotions, which is our image of family devotions is the one I just gave, which means we all have to sit at the table, candle burning, Bible open, behaving for an hour, huge spiritual moment that happens at least once a week. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're able to do that as a family, God bless you. But all I can tell you is that in my family growing up, didn't happen. And if we would have tried, this is what it would have looked like. I had two older sisters, and so I was the youngest of three. And if we would have tried to do family devotions, it probably would have been my mom trying to do it instead of my dad. But it would have been something like this. It would have been Sunday at 6. She would have been like, okay, hey, Mark, come on in from playing with Kenny. Time to come in for family devotions. Sherry, come on down. Julie, get off the phone. Honey, quit watching the game now. Time for family devotions. Here we go. Mark, get in here. Quit playing with Kenny. Kenny, go home. I don't even like you. Go home. Sherry, get down here. Get out of here. Julie, get off the phone. Here, just give me that. And honey, quit watching the game. Give me the remote. That's off. Now, come in here and sit down. Mark, sit. Get in here. Sit down. Sherry, sit down next to him. Julie, you sit there. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. You all shut up. Honey, sit down and let's do family devotions. How many of you did I nail your family right there? Oh, you guys are never going to invite me back, are you? Friends, we never did family devotions, and yet we had faith talk all the time. And why is that? Because my dad believed in something different. He called it seize teachable moments. So instead of, and my dad was a camp director, and he never trained us as counselors in how to lead a one-hour Bible study every day. Instead, he said, I want you to go through the day with the kids, and whenever there is a teachable moment, a godly moment, seize it. And so, for example, if you see a rainbow in the sky, it's a perfect opportunity to say, hey, everybody, take a look at that rainbow. Isn't that cool? Oh, by the way, isn't that supposed to remind us of something? I know that's supposed to remind us. What's that supposed to remind us of? And then you talk about it. You would see a snake slithering. Hey, that snake. Wonder why God, you know, why Satan is described as a snake. You talk about it. Friends, what I'm trying to tell to you is when is the right time for faith talk? Anytime and all the time. Rather than thinking you have to create a magical time to make it happen, what I want to encourage you to do instead is seize the times, the opportunities that God provides every day. If on your way home you see an accident on the side of the road with paramedics working there, when is the right time to pray for those people? Sunday night at 6 o'clock with the candle burning and the Bible open. No, right there. Say, hey, could someone say a prayer right here in the car for those people that were in that accident? So T stands for time. So let's make faith talk happen anytime. Another aspect of faith talk is the R stands for repetition. Which means we need to repeat. An aspect of faith talk is you are going to say some of the same things over and over again. Because have the Ten Commandments changed? No, they're the same ten. And what's going to happen is you're going to get ready to say something, and your kids are going to go, I know what you're going to say, Dad. I know what you're going to say, Mom. To which your response is going to be, yes, and I'm going to say it again. Lying is wrong yesterday, it's wrong today, and it's still wrong tomorrow. So would you quit lying? It doesn't change. And that is the one thing. We live in a world where everything is changing. Isn't it nice to know that something is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Amen? So an aspect of faith talk is repetition. And don't be afraid to use repetition because it drives it deep. We have been saying the same blessing over our daughter since she was very little. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine on you and be gracious to you, look upon you with favor and give you peace. We love you. Amen. So she was very, we've been praying that same blessing every night over her. When she was a teenager, she'd be getting ready for bed. She'd come out of her bathroom kind of already and kind of just almost halfway asleep. And then she'd just be looking for one of us, say, okay, Mom, Dad, bless me. And we pray that blessing over her. And now at 18, whenever I travel on the road, her kind of ritual is to send me a text before I get on the plane. Dad, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Love you, Dad. Friends, use repetition as a part of Faith Talk. Faith Talk, the A stands for acceptance, which means when we do Faith Talk, we are going to have to accept the fact that we all do it differently. Men do it differently than women. So don't get into that, oh, I wish he would do it like this. Oh, I wish she would do it like this. Or I wish... No. Let's accept that we're all different. Men do it different from women. And I've been... Now, you're going to just have to tell me this. I only have one child. But I've been told that if you have more than one kid, they're not exactly the same. Is that true? Which also means chances are what works with one is going to have to be different with the other. I can tell you, growing up, I was not a morning person. Anyone else here not a morning person? Yeah, all of us are closer to God. I just want you to know that. But anyway, I didn't like mornings. And my other sister, Sherry, not a morning person. But my other sister, Julie, big morning person. Well, my mom knew that. So my mom, for breakfast, would allow Sherry and I to just go sit in a corner and have breakfast and not talk. And it was beautiful. Loved it. We didn't have to say a word. And I think for 10 years, I never talked to my sister. It was great. At least in the morning. But my other sisters, Mom would engage with Julie in the morning, and they'd be da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They'd be talking about God and praying. Now, that was their time. It was like, good for you guys. But then Mom knew that at nighttime, that was more my time. And we had our kind of faith talk and prayer time in the evening. Does that make sense? Except that everyone's going to do it differently. And you may have to do it this way with this one, this way with that one, and allow yourselves to do it differently. The I stands for intentionality. Which means we are going to have to be intentional with Faith Talk. There are going to be times we're going to need to close the door, pull the van to the side of the road and say, we need to talk. I can tell something isn't okay. I can tell something. We need to pray about this. This is not going well for us right now. We need to pray our way through this. We need to talk about this. So don't be afraid to make Faith Talk happen. And then finally, the N stands for never ending. Faith Talk never ends. And so if you are a senior sitting in this room, there is no retirement plan for Faith Talk. And what I am finding today is that Satan is working overtime to get grandparents out of the game. Many grandparents today do not feel, and he's using one of two things. He's using either guilt or fear to get you out of the game. And on the one side, he may be using guilt, saying, you know what, because maybe now you've had some of your own kids that have walked away from the faith, and this is hard for you, and you're frustrated, it's painful, and now you hear this Faith at Home message, and now Satan's saying to you, see, you had your chance and you blew it. It's all your fault they walked away from the faith. Friends, I want you to hear this. That's a lie from Satan. You did the best you could with what you were given at the time. And what you need to do is get past your guilt by recognizing God's grace. Amen? By embracing God's grace. You did your best. God forgives you. Maybe you didn't do it perfect. God forgives you. Now, get back in the game. Because you're still mom. Even if your child is 50 years old, you're still mom and you're still dad. And what you say and do is 2 to 3 times more influential than anything the church can do to win them back. Did you hear me? What you say and do as a grandparent is 2 to 3 times more influential than anything the church can do to win them back to the faith. And Satan knows that, and that's why he's trying to use guilt to keep you out of the game. Or if he's not using guilt, he's using fear. Meaning he's saying to you, you're not cool enough. You don't know how to use a cell phone or text or Facebook post stuff. So because you don't know how to use technology, your grandkids aren't going to tune in. They don't care about what you have to say. Or you live too far away. The distance is too big of a problem. I identified for this new book of grandparents all these different roadblocks that are keeping grandparents out of the game. And then we put roadblock busters as ways that you can, in spite of that roadblock, still be a spiritual influence in the lives of your adult kids and grandkids. And the first roadblock that was identified was distance. We live too far away now. Well, you know what? Okay, so you live 2,500 miles away. Do you know how to use a phone? Call them. Pray for them over the phone. And yes, they may be resistant, but just say, you know what? It's something I'm going to do once a month. I'm just always going to pray for you, and I'm just going to ask you for your prayer request, what's going on in the family, and how I could pray for you. Write them a letter. My mom went to be with Jesus on May 2nd. I'm still recovering from that. My mom was the only person that wrote my daughter letters. I mean, in today's society, you ask the younger, they don't even know what it's like to get a letter from somebody. Guess what my daughter has in her top drawer of her dresser in her room? Those letters from Nana. Those influenced her and will continue to influence her. Grandparents, stay in the game. Amen? Keep praying for your adult children. Keep praying. Keep reading the Word. Keep worshiping. So that's faith talk. Other things that should be happening in the home is prayer should be happening. A second room should be with prayer. Let's make sure we're praying. And the Scripture tells us, talk about these things when you sit at home. So that's mealtime prayer. Let's make sure that at mealtime, we're praying. Talk about these things when you walk along the road. That's car time. It's a perfect opportunity for prayer. Talk about these things when you lie down, bedtime. Let's make sure we end our days with prayer. And talk about these things when you get up. That's morning time. Let's make sure we have morning time prayer. What I ran into, though, is a lot of families were telling me, I'd like to do mealtime prayer. I'd like to do morning time prayer. I like that idea, just don't know how. So we put together this silly little thing called the Faith at Home Prayer App. Let me show it to you real quick. Not that you can see it, but sort of can. It's just called the Faith at Home Prayer App. And once you go, so faith and then the at sign, home. And it was funny, I was talking about this yesterday, and I wasn't even done talking yet, and somebody had already put it on their phone. It was weird. But anyway, Faith at Home Prayer App, and then what you do is you hit the praying hands, and then it gives you the topics. Mealtime prayers, morning time prayers, nighttime prayers, car time prayers, blessings, and then prayers for different occasions. So let's say you want to bless your kid. Click on blessings. And then you shake the phone. I know, we're really cool, the shake thing. And then you read the blessing. So let's say you want to say a blessing over someone. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple days later, you want to bless them again. You then, my son or my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shake it again. Different blessing. We need to do a mealtime prayer as a family. Click on mealtime prayers. Shake it. And it says, oldest person at the table prays. If you are the oldest person, then you get to say the mealtime prayer. Next time you do a mealtime prayer, you shake it. And it says, it's a prayer that says, give thanks. We give thanks to you, Lord, because you are good. We give thanks to the God of all gods. We give thanks to you, the Lord of all lords. We give thanks to you, the God of heaven and earth, because your love endures forever. Psalm 136. Amen? We wanted to equip you. So this is, it's not hard to do this, friends, but we need to have prayer in the home. And as I get ready to wrap up, one other thing, I've got time for one other of these rooms. Wow. Jesus just returned. is Bible reading. What should be the most read book in our homes? Should be the Word of God. And yet go home and ask your kids what you read the most and see if the Bible makes the list. Friends, why should the Bible be the most read book in our homes? How many of us here would like to know God better? Would like to know His ways better? Would like to understand Him better? It's not like God's trying to keep it a secret. Get in His Word. Don't wait for Sunday morning to do it. Get in His Word, and it's not like we don't have access to it today. We can get it on our phones. We can get it in so many different versions and different ways. Get into the Word of God, and let's be a people that are in the Word of God in our homes. Amen? I wish I had time to go into all these others. Let me close with this. And this is the final thing I want, kind of a warning, and it comes back to Jack's message. which I didn't even know that was going to be his message today. As you become a Faith at Home household, and you start reading the Bible for yourself, you start praying, you start engaging in faith talk, you start living 24/7 for God. And then as you start having children, I would love to promise you that if you do all these things, it means your kids will never stray. I can't promise you that. In fact, there was a guy in the Bible that did everything right, had two sons. One son had no problem, continued walking with the Lord, following. But the other son said, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't want anything to do with this faith. I don't believe in the same God you do. I like our family. I don't like our family name. I don't like the business. I don't want anything to do with this. I want out of everything. And the dad let him go. Gave him his inheritance and let him go. And boy, did that son stray. Because we know, because the camera follows the son, and we get to see him get into all sorts of trouble. And he finds out that the world's ways aren't what he thought. But instead of following the son, I want you to go back to the dad for a second. What did the dad do while his son was straying? Did his dad give up on God? Did his dad give up on his faith? Did his dad walk away from church? Did his dad walk away and say, I'm done? Did Jack Hardcastle walk away from God? Did he say, I'm done with this church? I've served you, God, for all these years faithfully. Now this is what I get? I'm done. I'm out. You kidding me? No. Even if they stray, even if they end up in pain, even if they say, you stay. Stay committed. Stay a man of or woman of worship, of prayer, of commitment, and trust that God will bring them home, that God will deliver them, that God will heal them. Because think the rest of the story. When the son came home, where was dad? Waiting. And did the dad judge the son for all the things he did? Did he throw a bunch of judgment on him? No. He put the same robe, put everything back on him and said, welcome back. You're the same son, same family. We worship the same God. Everything's the same. So even if they stray, and for some of you, you have some kids that are straying right now. I want you to know you're not alone. You're in a safe place. We can talk about it, pray about it, and a place that can help you stay. And what I want to encourage you to do is stay strong and trust that God's going to bring them home. And all God's people said, thank you for your time, everyone. God bless you.